This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of WorldSweeper.com and the executive director of the World Sweeping Association. I couldn't be more pleased today to have Beth Krueger joining us. Hello, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
Beth, you are the president of Allstate Sweeping. You're located in Brighton, Colorado, and you're the featured contractor for us for May 2015, and I'm real pleased with that. Allstate Sweeping handles heavy highway and construction-type sweeping with a broom sweeper fleet. They began business in 2002, and I'll let Beth talk about why she founded the company, what the opportunity was that she saw, and I'll let you take it from there, Beth.
Okay. I started the company because I had worked in the sweeping industry for several years. I had started with BFI, Running Ferris Industries, and part of my resume was to be a salesperson for street sweeping. So I took a very good interest in it. I saw the need for it. I knew that BFI was downsizing, so I chose to leave BFI after 18 years of service and moved to a small company called Interstate Sweeping. I worked there for approximately 7 years. They had major financial problems. I learned a lot from them. So actually, they were closing their doors, and I just decided at that point in time, I had been the key salesperson for that company, that I was going to start my own company, and so I did that. I put together a client list, started calling them, and I actually subbed trucks out for a while until I got enough business going that I went to the bank and got a loan for my first truck.
So you knew that you had the sales portion of it, which is a tough part. That's a tough component for a lot of companies, but you had that component and felt like you had also learned from some of the mistakes that Interstate was making that allowed them not to be profitable. I mean, you must have picked up something there and felt that you could be profitable where they weren't.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the problem with the company was they overextended. They grew too fast, too quickly, overextended themselves to then... there's obviously down seasons with the sweeping industry, which we really don't see a lot of here in Colorado because our weather's not that bad. But we also, the kind of sweeping we do, we don't have really a downtime. We do have a much busier time during spring, summer, and fall, but we still have a lot going on in the winter. So I just decided that it was time to try this on my own. And, of course, the first few years was a struggle, but we overcame that.
And you run an Elgin fleet. What has driven you toward Elgin? You must remain pretty happy with them if you have an all-one manufacturer fleet.
I've tried several different companies that sell trucks. I found the Elgins to be kind of like the Cadillac of street sweepers. They tend to hold up better. We like to run one kind of truck anyway, so we keep a large parts available. We do a lot of our own designing of parts over the years, so manufacturing and creating some parts ourselves. Then, of course, we have a very good working relationship with Ferris Machinery that supplies Elgin parts here in Colorado. They just seem to me to be the best truck for what we needed. We run Elgin Eagles, and we use some Broom Bears also. They're all Elgin fleet.
Well, they are a real strong manufacturer, of course, largest in the United States. There's some real reasons for that, that's for sure. With the Eagles, do you do anything dustless with them, or do you use water for dust suppression on all your jobs? How have you found that system to work?
Most of it, we use the water systems, okay? Every once in a while, we'll be asked not to use water. But unless we're asked, we do use water. I believe the water systems on all sweepers are very hard to maintain, especially in the wintertime when you have the problem with possible freezing. Again, I find the Elgin's the best. It's just an ongoing repair that you got to put into your equation of running a business.
Well, one of the things I touched on in my editorial that actually went out today, we're recording this on Earth Day, April 22nd of 2015, was that with more and more water quality issues out there that cities are finding that they're becoming more reluctant to foul perfectly good drinking water and running it through a street sweeper and then, dumping it at a dump. So that's something I think in the future manufacturers, and as part of my editorial, I recommended that manufacturers really need to start looking at this more, how to come up with dustless sweeping. But it's not a simple thing, and you can see why, you know, dust suppression is so important anytime you shut it off.
Actually, Elgin's come out with a, they call it a dustless sweeper, some of the new ones. I don't think, as of now, I'm not too impressed with them. I don't think they've been perfected to the point where I really want to get into that. Right now, we're still using the old sweepers with the water bars and stuff on them, but pretty much, you know, we put down just enough to keep the dust under control, and it pretty much evaporates anyway. I do see that coming in the future. Hopefully, they will get it a little bit better. It's just not where it needs to be yet.
Right, and that's that was my point in the editorial, too. Some of the manufacturers talk about the fact that they have a dustless sweeper, but I at one point did some behind-the-scenes investigation by calling dealers of Elgin and of Timco and talking to them, and I really had a hard time finding a dealer that would say you don't have to have dust suppression on your machine. Dustless is going to work in enough situations where you don't need to have a dust suppression. Nobody was willing to say that, even if the manufacturer is selling the product line. I think Elgin comes real close to what you can get with current technology, though, that's for sure.
Absolutely, and I think they're improving on it all the time.
All the time. Mm-hmm.
It's just like electric cars. I mean, it's new, so it just needs to get a little bit better as it goes along.
Right. Are there any kind of special regulations or guidelines or anything you have to follow in Colorado? I know it's a pretty progressive environmental state. Do they require that sweepers are on construction site jobs like California does?
Yes, they do. Anymore the EPA comes in, OSHA is requiring them to keep the dirt down. Everything has to be swept. Pretty much every job site, any road work, anything like that, requires sweeping here in Colorado. We're a real environmentally friendly state. You know, I mean, we don't want pollution in the air, and so they're very, very tight on making sure.
And it's more, is it more air pollution or water? Do they handle water quality as well? What do you feel like the emphasis is if you were going to say it's 50-50 on air and water, or is it skewed one direction or the other?
I think it's both, but I know they very much pay attention a lot to the air quality, you know, because we're in kind of a valley out here, and the mountains surround us, so pollution doesn't tend to, when it's there, it kind of hangs. So, I mean, they very much pay attention to that, but I know they pay attention to the water, too.
Well, I know that there is a lot of asthma caused by dust, and they're really trying to get a handle on that particular thing, and especially the kind of sweeping that you're doing. There's no curb and gutter, and sometimes the best way to handle that when there's not curb and gutter is to let stuff run off to the side and filter down through the ground, if that's what it's going to do, you know, with water, with rain runoff and that kind of thing. It's the impervious surfaces where you run off and then go down, you know, right into a creek or something that is more more water quality issues. You told me before we started this that when you initially started, you also looked at parking area sweeping.
Yes.
How long did that last and what got you out of it?
We actually were in the parking lot sweeping business for several years. I think probably in the last 4 or 5 years we got rid of it, we sold out of it. And the reason being, it was a very, very, very competitive market. It did not pay well because you had a lot of small mom-and-pa companies with one truck that went out and swept it by themselves. It became an issue with us because what you were able to pay the employee, you didn't get the best, I'd say the best quality of employee, because everything was bid so low, and then your overhead was so high that you didn't get to pay a lot, and of course they don't have CDLs, so it just became non-profitable to us, and we decided to get out of it.
You hadn't had the idea of starting a non-profit business when you started, so.
No, it seemed like it was kind of like a sore place with us. It was actually bringing the company down, and we were striving in the direction to do a lot of certified payroll and federal work, government work. Our biggest client in Colorado is RTD. That's the mass transit that does all the rail systems and stuff. And, you know, if your employee's making great money and you're making money and they're making money, everybody's happy, so.
Right, and the parking lot business certainly has been a race to the bottom as of late, especially with the third-party vendors. And I think with the recession hitting retail so hard and so forth, that just hasn't recovered. And speaking of that, how hard were you hit during the recession when there wasn't nearly as much building and construction going on? Were you able to hold on and keep your fleet or have to downsize?
We actually had gotten rid of the AirVac part of it prior to that, and so that worked great for us because we had gone a different direction, and we were doing a lot of the, like again, I said the RTD, which is the rail system in Colorado, and a lot of CDOT work and things like that. So actually, it didn't affect us a lot. I mean, it did a little bit, but not a lot, because we were going the direction where business was still there. They were still building highways. They were still doing bridges. You know, at the time, they had put out money to try to keep the highway systems going and help the economy. So we got a lot of jobs through that, and we stayed pretty well busy through it.
Well, it's something better than what happened in a lot of areas, I know. So, you know, part of that speaks to the fact that you were being chosen for the work, and, you know, that speaks to quality. And also, you're a woman-owned business. How has that made a difference in your bidding and acceptance, do you think? Does it make a lot of difference or not?
Huge difference. I own 66%. Barbara Hollis owns 34%. Actually, we've been friends over 20 years, so it works really good with us. I belong to a lot of different, go to a lot of different meetings and stuff and make sure that everybody knows who I am. After 30 years of doing this, I'm pretty well known, and she's more office person. I think just the fact that in Colorado, they use minority and certified groups a lot. And because we have our certifications in place, it does help us tremendously getting jobs. And then, of course, the fact that we do a quality job when we're sweeping.
Well, that's where it comes down to. You can be woman-owned or have any kind of advantages like that, but if you can't do the job, they'll find a way not to use you. So,
absolutely,
that's clear. And is it mostly prevailing wage work, or is that how big an issue is prevailing wage in Colorado?
There is a lot, and yes, there's a lot of us of prevailing wage. Most of our jobs are prevailing wage, probably a good 90%.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about your certifications and actually going to the meetings too. That's something I'd like to make a kind of an editorial comment on. I know a number of businesses that they'll join some of the different associations that are out there, whether it's on the parking lot side, might be NAB or ICSC or whoever it is, and then put the logo on their website or put the logo on their letterhead and wonder why that's not really getting them much business. And I think that the key element there is that you go to meetings and you become friends with the other people that have similar goals to yours. And that's what makes the huge difference, I think. How have you obviously see that, for one, having a sales background. What are the kinds of associations you belong to, and how do you feel that helps?
Oh, I think it helps tremendously. Just people putting a face to who they talk to every day on the phone helps tremendously. You get kind of a personal aspect going with it. I belong to our MCCA, which is Rocky Mountain Minority Contractors Association. I used to be on the board. I no longer am because I just got too busy where I couldn't be all the time to all the meetings. We belong to COMTO Colorado, which is a nationwide. COMTO's nationwide, but we attend a lot of meetings here in Colorado for that. Basically, I watch the computer a lot. I'm on it every day. Anytime there's any kind of open house or networking session or get-together, I try to make it to every one of them. Like tomorrow, I have 3 different meetings. You know, the next day I have 2. I stay pretty busy. And I think just being out there, and doing that for the last 30 years has helped me tremendously.
Well, one of the reasons, I think, when somebody goes to meetings that makes a difference is because you go to a meeting, now somebody has a bid, they either include you or they don't, but they have to look you in the eye again next month and tell you, you know, why they didn't include you or, you know, give you the kind of consideration and look they should have given you. And the best way to go out of business, as far as I'm concerned, is to get all the low bids. And that's something that you can do, is stay out of the low bid scenario, because people understand the quality of work that you produce, then that certainly can make a difference too in terms of your ability to keep your machinery up to date and purchase it and have a good inventory on hand, so that if your machines go down, you can get another one on the job and then get that one fixed quickly, because, you know, you're of a size to be able to do that. So I think it's so critical, if you're going to belong to these associations, not just to belong to them for a logo, but to actually, you know, get involved.
Absolutely. We've built a very good reputation, so we have a lot of repeat business. And part of the thing is, you know, if I get to the point where I need to go buy another machine, we've got enough credit now with our bank and cash flow that we can go purchase another machine. So they know that. I don't lowball. I'm not, by far not the lowest priced company around. But we're, you know, we try to keep it where they need it to be and where we need it to be, so everybody's happy. But it's the quality of work. And I even had a man yesterday told me, I would pay your company $15 more an hour just to use you than use another company. That's a pretty good thing to hear.
And you said, yes, of course, you're welcome to do that.
Yes.
Well, quality does certainly matter. Let me ask you this. With most of your contracts, are you including the dumping fees for whatever material you pick up, or have you tried having them cover the cost of material disposal? How does that work in Colorado?
We absolutely try to get them to take care of it. On occasion, I'd say most of our jobs, they do take care of it. Some of it we have to bring back as part of my bidding program. I charge them $50 a load for anything I have to bring back. So that kind of covers that cost for us to have to landfill it out. But again, I don't have that many people that, as we do so much road work, there's usually a dump site on the location.
Well, it makes so much more sense, because as a contractor, you don't know whether the dump fees might go up and so forth. If you signed a 3-year contract, for example, you have to put a little something in there for the fact that all that may rise.
Exactly.
Do you have any clients where you use a gas card of theirs to put fuel in your sweepers?
No. All our drivers are assigned their own particular gas card, so that's all bid into every bid I do. I do a lot for, you know, if I have a 5-year contract, I always put a clause in there for fuel prices rising. We pay for our fuel.
Well, one of the areas where I'm trying to, you know, educate contractors to give a try to this if they can, is the recognition that, you know, we're paying 28 cents a gallon currently as a federal excise tax. And as a private contractor, you can't get that as a rebate. But if you can have your municipal contractor that, you know, doesn't pay those taxes, have that on their fuel card, so you have an alternate fuel card in the rig when you're working on their business, then that saves that 28 cents a gallon. So that's something to negotiate or try, or, you know, if you're bidding against another company and it's not going your way, that might be, or it's a tie, that might be a way to even the scale or uneven the scale in your favor, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to know. I guess, like you said, you're mm-hmm. every day.
And we have that information about that on the World Sweeping Association website, too. So, and about the fuel excise tax in general and rebating that. We're allowed to rebate the part of it when you're on private property that comes from the sweeper, but not from the chassis. But unfortunately, the IRS has not said we can do it directly yet as contractors, but that's something we're working on as well. If they're paying the fuel bill, then of course they don't have to pay the tax if they're a public entity, so municipal type entity. So, do you do more DOT type sweeping? And now I know that railroad is the largest client. How is the general tone in Colorado in terms of doing it yourself as a DOT or as cities and having their own sweeper fleets versus hiring it out to contractors? Have you seen that change over the last, say, 10 years? Is it moving to more privatization or to less? How's that going?
I think it's more privatization. Years ago when I was in this, there was a lot more cities that had people, other people doing it. Now they're have bought sweepers themselves and doing it within the house. Fitting it out's kind of gone away. There's a few cities here in Colorado that still do still fit it out. We actually did a few of them, but again, I've chose not to go that route anymore either. I didn't think it to be that profitable. I'm not going to mention what cities it was, but you know, it was just something that I felt. I withdrew my last bid last year and told them I didn't feel like I wanted to bid it because I didn't feel they had the right mileage on it. Pretty much everybody I'd ever seen that had done their sweeping had financial issues with it, so we chose not to go the route. Again, we like to stick with CDOT. We like to do work with some of the big highway construction workers. We do like SEMA, Ames, Kiewit. No, a lot of them are nationwide. I could go on forever. I've got a big list of them. But our largest client is RTD, which is the Regional Transportation District here in Colorado. And they're doing all the rail lines for the fast tracks that carry the people, you know, to and from work. And that has been our biggest way we've gone.
Mm-hmm.
That and freeway and road milling and that kind of thing.
And what is the employee part turned out to be? Are you able to keep employees over the long time? You know, probably you are because they're getting prevailing wage, which is a lot more than a, you know, sweeper operator is going to do on a parking lot. Have you found good quality employees are generally available? And I know, I guess the part B to that would be, I know Colorado now has legalized marijuana. Has that thrown any kinks into the system?
You know, actually, it really hasn't. Most of my employees have been with me for years. We actually have grown a lot this year and hired two new ones on. Everybody is told when they come to work for us that you are randomly drug tested through the DOT program. We have to do that. They randomly pick it for us. We call them out, and they have to be there within a certain amount of time. They don't have time to stop and try to cover that or anything else. I think most of these people realize that they'd rather make upper the high $30 an hour range than smoke pot.
Well, that seems like an easy choice.
So we really haven't had a lot of problem. Have I had people come in to apply that hear that and leave? Yes. Yeah, that's their choice. But my employees that I have been, most of them have been with me at least 5 years on up. You know, we've hired two new employees this year, all of which are on the random thing, no problems there, and very good drivers, and I think they'll stick around because they make excellent money.
Mm-hmm. I run into that, you know, when you say, you know, they'd rather get good wages than smoke pot, and the ones that don't can just go away. And, you know, that's how I felt when I introduced our Ethics and Power Sweeping Initiative that's part of all World Sweeping Association membership, which, of course, you know, you didn't have any problem signing. But it was interesting to me that I had, when I first started that, it was prior to WSA, and I had about 60 contractors in my contractor locator system at World Sweeper. And I decided I wanted to impose that they would all sign this ethics initiative, and I lost four of them. And I think it was the closet's midnight dumping, probably. But, you know, I was real glad to lose those particular four companies because I don't want to be involved with companies that aren't ethical. And
exactly. I mean, we just don't even, we're straightforward when they come and apply and say, you know, don't tell us, no, you're not, and we're going to hide it with masking it. This is how it is, and it's going to show up, and we just don't tolerate it. It's a no-tolerance policy here. You know, you cannot hold a CDL and partake of smoking weed.
Well, one of the tips I'll throw in here was one I picked up at the National Pavement Expo from one of the contractors. And what they did was they were testing everybody from the get-go. And their problem was that they would pay the money for the test, and the people would earnestly tell them, no, they, you know, they don't smoke pot. And then they'd have the test done, because the person's a finalist for the job, and it would come back that positive. Now, what they started doing, this might be a tip for some of your other contractors out there, is they told the person, you're going to be hired, and here's the last thing we have to do is a drug test, and I need you to put five $20 bills, go get me $100, and we'll put them in this envelope, and then you'll get that back once your drug test is passed. And in fact, I think they replaced it with six or seven $20 bills. Whatever it was anyway, it would pay the testing fee. Maybe it was $50 and they'd get back $100. But the idea was to weed those people out before they had to go through the testing. And he said, you'd be surprised how many guys say, yeah, I need to go to the bank to get that money for you. And then they just would never come back. That's better than you paying the test, I think, before, and then facing that later on. Do you do your own in-house mechanic work? You do.
Okay. We have two full-time mechanics on pretty much 24/7. They do go home at night, but we're on call. So if something goes down, they get up, head back in. Yeah, we do everything in-house.
For how many sweepers? I didn't ask that part either. What is your mix, would you say, between Eagles and Broom Bears?
I have four Broom Bears and, we're at right at 15 or 16 sweepers. So
total. Mm-hmm.
New one coming in.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, is there anything we haven't talked about that you'd like to bring out about your company and the way you operate that is unique or different or you think gives you a competitive advantage?
Oh, I just think the competitive advantage for us has been that we're very, very down to earth. We call back, we see how our jobs are going, a lot of follow-up work, personable relationships with people, and the fact that, I've done this a long time helps too. And I just think that we have just such a great working relationship with people. If we do have a complaint, which I bet if we have two complaints a year, then we follow up and we find out what we can do to, make this person happy.
And clearly, so that same kind of mistake doesn't happen again, if that's all the complaints a year you have. I mean, that's part of it, too.
People that, sometimes everybody doesn't like everybody else, so.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that issue before where maybe they don't care for that certain driver. So you just change drivers.
Right.
Somebody else on that job. Maybe it's a personality conflict. That happens. But we try to, I believe that the customer is always right, even if in the back of your mind you know they're not. But you go with it and deal with it as they're always right.
That makes sense. It's a situation where you've determined that you're not going to go at it that way. What you're really saying is you've decided you're going to fire this particular customer.
Yeah, and I've had a few that I've actually backed out from before.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do to make them happy, and maybe they just like to complain so they don't have to pay their bills. So, yes, we've had a few that we've chosen not to do work with any longer.
You also do power washing and you do snow abatement and removal. Is that something you do just for your sweeping customers, or do you do that for other people that are not sweeping customers as well?
Yeah, we do it for other people that aren't sweeping customers. Our snow removal, we've been doing a big, huge shopping center out here that we have done for, I think, about 12 years now. And we just continue to do that every year, and then we have some other oddball ones that we do. But we don't necessarily sweep it. We just happen to have a good rapport with them for the snow removal, so we keep doing it.
Is that a big business in the Denver area, or... I mean, I don't know how much snowfall you get there in the, I don't know if you can call Denver the lowlands, but it is lower than some of the surroundings. Is that something where you do that 3-4 months a year, you might be out snowplowing?
It used to be a lot better than it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think climate change is really a big difference than it used to be.
Yeah, no question.
We used to get a lot more snow than we do now, but yeah, in the winter, when we're not doing snow plowing, now we're doing sweeping. But
right,
like Colorado, you can be below zero one day and 50 the next.
And that's why the air quality situation is so much more critical, I think, in Colorado's type of climate. I'm out in Washington State, where we have a lot of, you know, gray and kind of drizzly and so forth, and it keeps the air clean much of the time. Air advisories are a huge thing. But in Colorado, it can snow, and then the next day, and you put down a lot of sand and cinders or whatever they use, and then the next day and succeeding days are sunny, and that dries out and pounds up into the air, and you just really need to get it off the road.
Out here, it's so weird, it just doesn't stick around. We just do not have old snow. If you see dirty snow out here, it's very, very unusual. The sun's so bright out here, and we have so many sunny days a year, that as soon as it snows, the next day when the sun comes out, it's usually gone, unless you have a continued storm. And then, of course, then we're out working it. So as soon as the sun comes out, melts everything out, boom, you're back sweeping again.
I think we've covered a lot of ground with our interview. If there's anything else that I've left out, let me know that. And otherwise, maybe that's where we should leave it.
Okay.
We've been speaking with Beth Krueger. Beth, you sound like you run a very tight ship and a well-run organization. I love the parts that you talk about your customer follow-up and having the customer always be right and getting few complaints and so forth. You sound like an organization that really knows what they're doing and knows where they're going. You've certainly built a substantial fleet in the less than 15 years you've been operating. You're at Sweeper a year since we're in 2015, so that's a big thing as well. Beth is the president of Allstate Sweeping, and they're located in Brighton, Colorado. They are the WorldSweeper.com, World Sweeping Association contractor that we featured for May 2015. Thanks again, Beth.
Thank you.